Hello, product innovators. Today we learn tips on what to look for in your first hires at a hardware startup from a two-time founder with hundreds of millions of dollars in sales.
This is the Product Startup Podcast, a show to learn from top leaders in hardware product development, prototyping, manufacturing, product selling, and everything in between. Hosted by Kevin Macko, the leading expert on product development for hardware startups.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very excited to introduce Kevin Lovell to the show. Kevin is the founder of Mizzen & Main, a consumer product company that has sold via hundreds of outlets and even has 10 of their own retail stores, doing hundreds of millions of dollars in sales since inception. He has now founded Harbor, a pediatric device startup that just raised $3.7 million in seed funding as well. Today, Kevin will share valuable knowledge from inventor startups and small manufacturers on the type of personality that you need to look for in your first hires at a new hardware startup, the types of characteristics that matter and that don't, and why quality is so important at hardware. Now, onto the episode.
This show is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be able to talk with you. Thank you.
We're excited today to have you on to talk about early hiring. It's something that every hardware startup hopefully is thinking about at some point in their journey. Even if you're just in the ideation phase or you're in the development phase or you're just launching to market, at some point you're going to grow from being a one or two person team to hopefully a full stack team. And one of the most important things in that journey is the hiring. How are you actually bringing on the right team members that will help grow your brand to the next level, turning it from a product startup into an actual product business with real employees? Mm-hmm. So what better person today to talk about it? You're now on your second venture. Your first venture, Mizzen & Main, was a huge success. Hundreds of millions of dollars in sales all over the world. You've got 10 retail locations. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's conversation, just give us a quick backstory of how you got to the success story that you are today.
I don't know that I'm at the success story yet, but we've been very fortunate. It's been a great ride. The short version there is I grew up playing golf. I'm wearing one of our golf polos now. I watched performance polos take over on the golf course. And when I was a college intern in DC, which taught me I never wanted to work in politics, but I was there. I watched a congressional staffer run into a building soaked in sweat. I wondered why had no one ever made a dress shirt out of performance fabrics before. Thought about the idea for years, finally decided I've got to give this thing a shot. We launched the world's first performance fabric dress shirt in 2012. We'll talk about some of those, you know, early days later in this discussion. But, you know, out of the gate, it was doing everything I could to get every sale, one sale at a time, and then, you know, tens and then hundreds and then thousands. And that's a long early grind, but learned a lot through that process. Ultimately, we've had a great run. We had L Catterton invest in us. They're the world's largest consumer retail private equity firm. We've gotten some really incredible partnerships, guys like Phil Mickelson, JJ Watt, and others. The business is still going strong, but I've decided to launch a new startup, a pediatric telehealth startup, building a better baby monitor. It's called Harbor. And it's based on my own experience, that similar aha moment where something happened. I said, why isn't this better? And decided to go out and build that better thing. I woke up one morning and my son's Nanit app on my iPhone, it's a Wi-Fi baby camera that runs an app on your phone. The Nanit app had just crashed. There was no audio coming through. So I ran up to his room. Thankfully, he was just fine. But then I learned you can't rely on these app-based systems on your phone to be a baby monitor. So we'll talk more about it. But ultimately, that's the problem that I wanted to solve. And now we're building, I think, something even bigger than that, which is a wraparound kind of pediatric and early childhood wellness overall telehealth company.
Amazing. Both these stories started from that aha moment of just a pain point that you saw in your own life, which is so akin to so many inventors out there. I know many, many people listening to this show have that same thing that was the spark for their product idea. But it's also important if you're listening to the show and you haven't had that idea yet, just keep your eyes open. Keep looking at the pain points that you're having in your personal life, because I have interviewed on the show, and obviously Macko Design has worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who the spark to their product invention, the big success story that ended up coming out, was just that personal pain point, either at work or in somebody that they're close to or at home. And that's the beginning of so many ideas. So I want to learn from you today, Kevin, really what some of those growth initiatives were that helped you scale. Today is an important episode for those who are considering to not only launch a product, but launch and grow an empire. Well, that transition, there's a lot to go through. And today's topic is about hiring. So Kevin, just talk big picture. Walk us through what's important when thinking about hiring your very first staff members to help grow and scale your new hardware product business.
I think I'm going to just say, like, table stakes is they have integrity, they have relevant overall experience, especially if it's a first hire, they're going to be doing something very specific. So moving aside some of just the very basic table stakes that anyone should consider when hiring, I'll talk about maybe some of the principles that I think are most relevant in no particular order in a startup. I think I would always, I say no particular order, but I would always start with, could this person succeed in the unbelievably dynamic, uncertain, and fast-paced world of a startup? And in so many startups, you want to get somebody that's been there before because you want their experience to come help you in those earliest of days. My experience has generally been people from very large organizations always, but generally from large organizations are not the right fit for the earliest stages. Because in a startup, a day is like a week in a big company. A week is like maybe even a quarter in a big company. And a month is basically a year. And it sounds funny and cliche to say it, but the speed at which you have to make decisions is unlike anything most people have ever experienced. And that cuts both ways. The need to move quickly to survive, but also the consequences of decisions tend to be so much smaller that people from large organizations just aren't used to saying, okay, let's just go with it. And then we'll iterate or pivot if we have to. Because if you go through all the processes that you normally do in a large organization to make every decision in the small organization, you'll never even get off the ground. It's just fundamentally not possible. And so it's not to say that no one could ever transition from large to the earliest startup employee. So if that is the case that you feel like they could, I would really dig into what in their personality gives you the confidence to bring them on board for the most critical hire you'll make in the company's, you know, tenure. Are there things that demonstrate their ability to handle change? Are there things in their history or resume that show that they can operate without a team, that they can operate without a decision maker approving or helping guide those decisions? There's a lot of different ways you can look for that. That would be the first thing that I would start with. The second thing would be some measure of get to know them in some capacity for more than an interview. And so a lot of the earliest hires at my second startup, Harbor, we have worked with on a contract basis for either a couple weeks or in many cases, a couple of months where they were doing some freelance for us on the side. And so we really got to know each other. And if you can do that, that is just the best way to hire, because somebody could be the perfect fit for the role that you want to hire for, but you guys just don't mesh. And the way that you want to operate the business just doesn't align with how they make decisions. So those would be the first two things. And then the third thing would be, do they understand fundamentally what they're getting into? And so I've seen some people say, I really want to go work for a startup. And then they say, you know, I want my all-in cash comp in year one to be $400,000. Great. You are 100% not a fit for this startup because you have no idea what sort of trade-offs and types of things are going to be required for this role. And you really can never negotiate someone down successfully from a $400,000 kind of opening compensation ask, because that's just so far removed from the reality of that first type of hire role. And they need to understand that what they're buying into is the upside rather than, well, you have to pay me what I'm worth right now. And that to me is the biggest flag for they're not going to have the right frame of reference for what these decisions require. And as a corollary, I'm talking to a bunch of prospective kind of ambassadors and celebrity investors and others. And some of them say, well, if you want to work with me, or it's their agent, if you want to work with this person, you know, they're going to need at least seven figures a year in cash compensation. Like, okay, well, then you're not a good ambassador for a startup at this stage, because that trade-off doesn't work. So that's actually a really easy and great thing to know up front. But hopefully those are our three first good kickoffs for framing for that first hire.
That's so powerful. Finding the right fit for the job, especially in the entrepreneurial venture. I love how you keep coming back to that startup attitude, because the reality is you don't have the budgets of the big corporations. So you're not trying to compete with them toe-to-toe on the precise figures, especially when we're talking about cash compensation. It's all about the upside. And a big part of that upside is that it's kind of your job as well as the entrepreneur to sell them. In a way, they've got to believe in what you're doing, because the reality of almost any startup is that you are getting paid less now in order to be part of a ride in which you will do significantly better than your peers by just going and getting a fluffy corporate job.
The other thing I just want to add to that in terms of the, you know, being a part of a ride. I've seen a lot of, I'll call it takedowns on Twitter, where early employees took a bunch of equity and they got totally hosed because it didn't work. And there are some prognosticators on Twitter that say basically working for a startup is, you know, a bad trade and anyone should just go take more money at a more secure job. If the only reason you're going to work for a startup is because you think your equity is going to be worth $10 million and you're willing to make that trade, it's probably not the right choice also. If you are going to work for a startup, sure, take a bet on yourself and be, you know, say, I want to be a part of an upside, I'm ready for it. But also the ability to learn and grow and extend your skill set. Now, you should be compensated for it. I'm not saying go do work for free or take a 90% haircut on your compensation, but the intangible benefit of the speed and breadth of responsibility that you can get. There is no greater example of this than myself. Before I started Mizzen and Main, I'd never even interviewed someone, let alone hired them, managed a P&L, and then I never done any of that. But I called myself a CEO and I was off to the races. Every single thing I did was brand new. And I was able to go from no P&L experience, no managerial experience, nothing, to running ultimately a multi-million dollar company because of what a startup affords you the chance to do. And so I saw folks, some of the best hires I ever had, had no college degree. They had no real, you know, robust resume, but they came in and they proved they could outwork and outsmart and outhustle everyone around them. And they rose to a point where they got hired away to a role that they never would have gotten before because those other companies needed to see those proof points. And when you can say, I took the business, I was a part of the business from here to here, and here are the 10 things that I personally did, that's really hard to do at a larger organization. You can claim credit, but if you're one of 10,000 employees, it's really hard to say that like you've materially moved the needle for the top line or the bottom line of the organization.
Well, that comes back to what you're talking about when you're even with your first hire. Does this person have the ability to do a lot of work? Are they a get stuff done type of person, or are they kind of a massive delegator, thinker, this sort of stuff, which is very akin to big corporate? Lots of meetings, very little action. Mm-hmm. As you said, you know, weeks turn into months that turn into years. So at a startup, you don't have that luxury. Things need to be getting done every single day. So if you can prove that you're that type of person that has the grit, the integrity, as well as the intelligence to hustle and move on these things quickly, make actual actions happen, you're going to be much further ahead. And the learning, what better place to learn, especially as somebody who's maybe looking to change career or early in their career, whatever else. Startup is an incredible place. And I see it with countless startups, other clients of ours, or just other groups that I'm a part of. And there's really no machine that moves nearly as fast as somebody who is, especially with leadership like you had, Kevin, where you were in it 110%. You're looking to make moves very quickly. You're looking to conquer a market. You're moving at the speed of light. So everybody who then joins around you is going to be doing a very similar thing, moving quick and getting things done.
100%. And I will follow that great kind of encapsulation with somewhat of a contradiction immediately in my advice, which is the biggest change that I've made from my experience at Mizzen and Main to Harbor, and part of it is the nature of what we're building, is hiring experienced people. And I don't mean big, big, big company people who say, oh, I've seen everything and I've done it before, but people with the relevant experience required to be successful. And so very specifically with Mizzen and Main, I sort of tinkered around. I found a seamstress. I called fabric companies. I found people to make me a pattern. And I sort of hacked together the prototype and the first 1,000 shirts myself and paid for it myself. And my job was to then go out there and sell the shirts. And I learned how to sell and how to get our product in and blah, 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 blah. I didn't hire anybody from the industry for, I think, at least 4 years, maybe five. And part of it was I couldn't afford to hire anybody for a long time. But then also everyone from the industry either told me my idea was stupid or were so dismissive of our existence that I wasn't having a conversation trying to get them to come in and help us. Now, I certainly didn't talk to everybody in the industry, but my conversations were largely, not only do you not have a chance, like you're an idiot for trying. With Harbor, we're building very advanced electronics and very robust systems. We have to be at the leading edge of cybersecurity. This is an incredibly sophisticated electrical engineering, industrial design, mechanical engineering, software, firmware, cybersecurity. And so with Harbor, we have 9 people on our team and we just launched the wait list for our product. I have been working on this idea for just directly for over 2 years. And my co-founder and I, who's the technical side of the business, have been building this company for 18 months. we have probably 20 people on contract from 1 hour a month to 40 hours a week, because the number of people with expertise is so high. And so I do want to just be careful to say, like, don't eschew anyone that has experience or big company resume, because there's no way they could survive in a startup. There is a balance. And depending on the needs of the product you're building, the technical requirements, in some cases, you just fundamentally cannot skimp on.
Yeah, especially in hardware. I mean, we talk a lot about it on the show. You can condense your feature sets, but never sacrifice quality of your feature sets. Hardware is expected to be a 5-star Amazon reviewed product. Even if you're a new brand, the market is looking for top tier quality. Therefore, you really have to at least make sure that you're hitting certain key minimum milestones with top level expertise. Otherwise, don't even start. So it's kind of a all or nothing in terms of quality. But of course, as a startup, what you can sacrifice is your feature creep. You can always save certain things for version 2.0. And that's been addressed quite a bit, especially when you're coming into complex consumer electronics products. You've got to be very sophisticated about what your first offering is, be very targeted, be very niche, be very specialized, very good at what you do, and that limited skill set. And I love how you said, like, you've really packed a lot of design, engineering, et cetera, into it in the early phases before you've even launched, to make sure that you're launching with that world-class quality right out of the gate from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because anything less is you're sacrificing the entire company. And, you know, I think an important lesson, and though it's not hardware, I think a very important example of this is, I don't know what version of Uber I tried, but I remember the very first version of Uber that I tried is like ancient technology compared to what Uber is today. But if they didn't do that, they had no chance to do anything else. Hardware, you can't iterate, obviously, nearly as quickly. But I think it's important, the lesson that you said is feature creep. What do you have to have to create value for the customer? And if you do that materially better than anyone else, then you have a chance to continue to grow and add things. And for us, there is the minimum hardware feature requirements. And then we have made some system design choices and some product selection choices on the guts of the product to allow us to expand in a huge way from a software perspective over time. So we nailed the hardware with that foresight in mind for what do we need to future-proof against for the years ahead, so we don't have to keep iterating new pieces of hardware. But all of the growth in features will come on the software side. Our launch version will be everything you need in a baby monitor, but then we have a roadmap of 2 years of features that we will release later. Because if we tried to do all of that at once, we would never launch. And when it comes to something as expensive and complex as hardware, you do have to get that first product out in the world to have license to be able to do everything else.
Kevin, thanks so much for your words of wisdom. Just before I let you go, what is the website to Harbor?
Harbor.co, harbor.co, and all of our socials are at Harbor Sleep. And then I'm on X at Kevin S. Lavelle.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. And I'll put the links in the show notes below for anyone who wants to click through. Thanks again for your words of wisdom today on hiring and getting your first product to market. Some of the concepts around feature creep, really important. And, you know, it all ties in. Hiring, feature creep, product development, it's all kind of nestled together very tightly. So I appreciate you bringing those things to light and how that even affects your hiring decisions as you hire your first employee for a hardware startup. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks and take care.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Product Startup Podcast. If you found some value in the show, please do us a huge favor and hit the like button and subscribe. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or anything else, feel free to reach out to us anytime at our email, podcast@macodesign.com. This show is hosted by Kevin Macko, North America's leading expert on product development for hardware startups. And the podcast is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. That's MAKO Design.com. Thanks for joining, and see you again soon.